perfect in leadership, the perfect Savior with perfect power and perfect peace and perfect holiness, the perfect righteousness and perfect might and forgiveness, the perfect comforter, the perfect purity, my perfect friend, called the perfect stranger. Let's stand together and read some text from the Bible. We'll turn to the book of Matthew. I'm going to turn my... Let's feast our eyes on this beautiful book tonight. Nice just to hold it in your hand. You realize the privilege it is to hold a book in your hand? You know what a shame it is for those that have not held it in their hand yet today? That's a shame, Paul. Verse 31, Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Father, we're so grateful for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this holy book and these holy words, Lord. What a privilege and an honor it is for us to feast our eyes upon them. Lord, we cannot understand it. We cannot get it. Not much of it anyway. A little bit maybe. Now, I hope tonight, Lord, we can get some, Lord. Lord, we'd come tonight and just be fed at your table, God. We need you, Lord, please, dear Lord. Lord, don't hold back your spirit because of me, Lord, because of my sin, my lack of faith, Lord. Please, Lord, your people need you right now. Please. Please, Lord, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. You may have a seat. I also like the title, A Stranger Taken In. Our text says tonight, For I was an hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Now, we're going to look at it a little bit different tonight, this verse. I want to talk about the stranger that we took in. Stranger. Not previously known. Unfamiliar. Not one's own or particular locality, environment, or kind, not native, out of the ordinary or difficult to account for, unusual or peculiar. And God lays forth today from his table this simile, this metaphor in Matthew 25. And I just want to talk a little bit about that, a little bit about this stranger. Surely we all agree, if any man was a stranger to the earth, it was our Lord. If any man would be find a difference from the place he came from to the place he came to, it'd be our Lord. If there's some unusual transformation from God to man, no wonder he's a stranger. A stranger, a different environment, a different government. It is an odd thing to me. A curious thing, a wonderful thing, an extraordinary thing, remarkable thing, astonishing, marvelous, exceptional, out of the way, out of place, off the wall, incredible. That the Son of God would be born a little baby in a manger. The perfect stranger for the most imperfect man. He was a stranger. You see, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You could say he was estranged to this world, hostile, unsympathetic, or indifferent, alienated, removed from an accustomed place or set of associations. How strange is it that the King of Glory would stoop down and come in such a humble way, in a humble place, to a corrupt and evil people? Oh, that is a stranger. Yes. I'm glad I wasn't a stranger to him. How do you know that? Because the Bible says this: before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Oh, yeah, he knew me long ago. The stranger, he's the stranger. We are not the strangers, if you can get that tonight. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We're no strangers to him. He came down here for his great love for us. How could we be strangers? We were friends. He came to a strange circumstance, born in a strange place, born in a strange town, and to this world, totally strange love, totally strange light. They could not comprehend it. The Bible says the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What is this light? It's a stranger. A strange light. We're just too evil to see it. We couldn't, we're blinded in the light. The strange light. It's strange like as there's been no light like it. Makes it strange. Stranger. Oh, righteous Father. Would you hear the word of God tonight, not the man tonight? Can we do that? Oh, righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I've known thee, Jesus said, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Oh, he was a stranger to the earth. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son. Stranger. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You can't know God by the world's wisdom. You can't figure out God by the world's wisdom. And by their wisdom, trying to discern the whole thing, they knew not God. And that is called no faith. You must come to God not trying to figure him out with your knowledge, with your intellect, with your wisdom, but all those that come to God must come to him by faith. That's where the world fell off the tracks, for sure. The princes? Really? Not even the princes? No, not even the princes. Which none, none, zero of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know. He was a stranger. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Oh, man. That we should be called the sons of God. Stranger to a son. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. When you are no longer a stranger, and you're one of his sons, you become very strange to this world. You become a stranger to the world, and it to you. That's God's way. Once you become a son, you're no longer, this is no longer your home. You no longer have to go with the crowd, amen. And they become a stranger. I wonder tonight, if we could count all the doors, how many doors this divine stranger knocked on? How many? Do you hear him knocking tonight? Are you sitting in this congregation and you're not saved? Do you, can you open your ears and hear the Lord Jesus Christ knocking at your door? The stranger, the perfect stranger, and to you, the total stranger. Would you rise up tonight and answer the door? Open and invite Christ in tonight. And you would say with Job, the stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. I was talking to my grandson about the stranger and about letting him in your house. He says, oh, Grandpa, that'd be the worst thing I could ever do. I said, that's true. That's true, Benny. That's true. You never open a door to a stranger. But this stranger, he's knocking, and he wants to come in. And he not only wants some bread, he not only wants some water, he not only wants to sup with you, he wants to abide with you tonight. Oh, he came into his own, and his own received him not. Stranger, a stranger to the world that he created. A stranger among those that he set apart for his own. Tonight, I'd like to take a look at a few strange things about the stranger. Beginning with, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And I got this first point by looking at a package of hot dog rolls from Wegmans. You know, the hot dog roll package has Wegmans' name on it because it's Wegman. There's not a Wegmans store, there's not a Wegmans store that doesn't have a name Wegmans on it. I got no problem with that. You go ahead and you buy some Wegmans pasta and some Wegmans sauce and some Wegmans vegetables. It's almost as if Wegmans believe they made all that stuff. It's almost as if children believe that Wegman, Danny, made all that stuff because it's got his name on it. It's an identification that I am Danny Wegman. This is my store. This is my stuff. These are my people. This is my parking lot. This is my place. How do you know? It says Wegmans. Oh, I wish God would sign every single leaf he ever created. Ha, ha, ha. I wish God would have his signature on every single drop of rain. Oh, you're such a big deal. You're such a big, you've never made a drop of rain. You've never made a flower. You've never made a rose. You've never made a leaf. You've never held back the countless gallons of water from flooding the earth. You never brought up the, when every morning on that curtain called the sunrise, God. Every lightning bolt, God. He made it all, and they don't acknowledge him. He's a stranger. Oh, when Danny comes to the store, ask Sharon, ask Brother Lodith. They get ready for Danny. Oh, Joe's going to work all night cleaning and mopping and shining, making sure every piece of fish is fresh. You don't want Danny to see an unfresh piece of fish. You don't want Danny to see some mouse crawling in the corner of the store. We get all ready for it. But for some reason, God's people, we ignore that beautiful rainbow that God made. We ignore that horizon that God made. That dirt that smells so good, that grows all of our food. We ignore it. And so it just happened to be, which makes us no better than an evolutionist. Oh, we're quick to judge the evolutionists, but when's the last time you thank God for that glass of water? When's the last time you thank God? I mean, really thank God. Not to kneel, sit down and say, oh, thank you for this lunch, Lord. Amen. Rah, 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 rah. When? Every mountain, every valley. Incredible. The world was made by him. Preacher, and the world knew him not. What arrogance. What prideful people. Strange, isn't it? Born in a place and they said there's no room for the Creator, the maker of the room. They have plenty of room for ordinary strangers, but not for this stranger. You see, he was the greatest stranger because he was a perfect stranger. Was it not Bethlehem of David, the seed of the ancient family to which he belonged? Even so, he was a stranger unto his brethren, a stranger to his family, and no door was opened unto him. And it is said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Oh, the foxes are all right, and the birds are all right, but the Son of Man who created the foxes and created the birds and created everything has nowhere to lay his head. Soon there was no room for him in the village, no place safe, as Herod, the king who got allowed to be king, sought the young child's life. So he flees to Egypt, become more of a stranger in an even more strange land. And worse than a stranger, an exile, a fugitive from the very land where? By birthright, he should have been king. On his return to the public, there's no room for him. They came like gawkers, like going to the circus. Let's see Jesus perform, like some of God's people. Let's see what Jesus is going to do. It's a big show, most of those people. It's true. No room. No room from his own people. No room to his own people whom the prophets had revealed and types set forth again and again. And they say, we'll have none of him. We'll have none of him. This stranger, we'll have none of him. Listen to the dire prophecies of the perfect stranger. He is despised. Listen to God's word tonight. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. His own land. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Spit at him with the water he made. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Why? Because he's a perfect stranger. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. See, he delighted in him. Go ahead. Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. Come on. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Mockers, scorners, haters. The thieves being crucified, cast the same in their teeth. Yeah. He was a man that men love to abhor. A man they detested so deeply, with so much vehemence. Away with him, they said. Crucify him. Crucify him. The perfect stranger. How could it be? dies a felon's death. The Jews are no different than the Gentile. The Jews said, as for this fellow, we don't know where he came from. And the Romans said, where did you come from? What are you about? What are you saying to the perfect stranger? Now, when you think about it, think about men, it's not a wonder that he was such a stranger. Sad thing, yes, but it's no wonder. How should a wicked, selfish world receive such a perfection? How could a world so full of hate receive such a one so full of love? It's the same way today. They hate him because he is such love. Men have not changed. How can the imperfect receive the perfection? How can the inglorious receive the glory, the mercy? The liars receive the truth? How could the self-righteous receive the righteous one? How can they receive this grace? The one that made it all, he had nobody, hardly, and he had no place, yet he was perfect. And I call him tonight the perfect stranger. Point number two, there's a saying that says, stranger things have happened. No, that's not true. Not than this. Hey, don't doubt it. There's no stranger thing. So we say, stranger things have not happened. That the stranger would allow us to come in and be a son. We go from stranger to the Savior, and we partake of his perfection. Hallelujah for it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. You ever get tired of reading the verse? Does it mean anything to anybody? But as many as received him, open that door to the stranger. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, it's the strangest thing, isn't it, that God would take you in? It's the strangest thing that God would come into you? Well, I'm glad tonight he's no longer a stranger to me. Someone says, stranger things have happened. Like what? You go online and look for strange things that happen. There are a lot of strange things on the earth. But nothing as strange as this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Unclean, unkept, untoward, unlovable, unthankful, unrighteous, unholy, totally undone. And the stranger takes me to be a son. If you don't think that's strange, you're the most prideful soul in the world. If you think you're some kind of gift to God, you got to be on something. I like the fact that I'm saved. And it's always going to be said from now throughout eternity. Jesus would say, I was a stranger and Jay took me in. I like that. Now, he's still a stranger to most, but not to me. And believers are few, but there's some in this room. He's despised by most, but not by the ones in this room, I don't think. Most have rejected him, but not you, I don't think. You know, we live in a world where religion is so cheap. So cheap. Our faith is so cheap to us. What do you mean? It doesn't cost us much. It's cheap. And the price goes up as we must swear our allegiance to the Savior when it can be a problem. So the stranger to most of the world, what's that to me? It's something to me. And it should be something to you. It should mean that we have more reason to proclaim him, not to fall back. You see, the world holds our Savior in low esteem. We know that. And when we are witness to that, it is ours to acknowledge our allegiance to Jesus. Many of our people, preacher, they take their colors from the company they hold. And on Sunday, they're shouting a Hosanna. And on Monday, they're talking with their irreligious and unbelieving friends, denying the Savior that saved them. Denying the perfect stranger. And that's exactly what that is. When you don't speak up, young man, and you hear them cursing our Lord, it is time to get up and let your faith cost you something so cheap. Our loyalty to Christ is not dependent on our latitude and longitude, meaning not where we find ourselves on the map, not where we find ourselves on the grid of life. We don't make our decision, well, I'm here, so I'm going to be loyal to Christ. I'm over here, not so much. Over here, our faith has nothing to do, should have nothing to do with latitude and longitude. We ought to proclaim him in every place, every single situation. Love him in every land. Love him every moment. Honor him though the multitudes disregard him. Speak of him when all the world forgets, even the Christians. Because that perfect stranger allowed me to come in. He's no longer a stranger, but now I am a partaker of his perfection. How could I not speak up? It's an amazing thing. The stranger comes to this earth and no one knows him. No one wants him, though he created all. He allows us to live here. I said God allows us to live here. Secondly, that he would take us in. There's not a stranger thing on the earth. Thirdly, tonight, that he would allow us to be the curator, the perfect stranger would allow us to be the curator or the holder or the keeper of the strangest book on the earth. Oh, man. Listen, you know when you entertain a stranger? When you take this book and you believe this book and you proclaim it. And it'd be said of you, I took a stranger in. He took a stranger in. Yeah, I like that. When we hold fast the faithful word, the doctrines of our Lord, the doctrines of the prophets, the doctrines of the apostles. We live in a world, and you know, that has put the Bible behind men. Humankind has put their own wisdom above the book of God. You know that the Bible, it's a nice book to have on the shelf. It looks nice on the cupboard when people come over, a nice little trinket on the counter. That's the way it is, but it should not be that way with God's people. Humankind has put the Bible behind their own aspirations, their own dreams, their own ambitions. The Bible is second, fifth, tenth, a hundredth. And if you're faithful to the faithful word, it can be said of you, he took me in, a stranger. There's no stranger book on the earth. I mean, love your enemies? What kind of a book is that? It's a strange book. Give and it shall be given unto you. Oh, that's a strange book. Turn your cheek and let him slap the other one. That's a strange book. Give your enemy your coat. Give him your jacket. That's a strange book. Be pure until you get married. That is a strange book. Pay for the thing. Don't borrow the money. That's a strange book. It doesn't fit the age, so we better put it off in the corner. But when you hold that thing up, you know you can't obey all of it. We can't understand most of it. We cannot understand most of it. But what we'll be held accountable for is what we do get. Let's take that which we know and do something with it. Oh, when I got saved, I took the perfect stranger in, and I took his strange book with me. And sometimes on the earth, the book is, if it were walking around, it'd be destitute, afflicted, tormented. No one's saying many good things about it. Then is the time for me to stand up like a man of God and show my colors. Believing our fidelity, proving our fidelity by counting the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Oh, it's a strange book, and I say scorn on those who believes everybody else but that book. Scorn on those who want to swim with the majority, which is against the book. The majority, the crowd, is against the Bible. If you don't know that, I don't know where you live. I say, blessed is the man that swims against the currents of the world when it flows against the flow of God. And if you love God, ladies, and you love the Bible, and you want to do right, you will not be with the majority. You will not go with the flow of life, the world's way. And if you do, listen to me now. Listen to your preacher. If you decide, I want to swim with the world with this. No. When you begin swimming with the world, you must be like them. That is an undeniable truth. If you swim with the world, you must dress like them. Look like them. Listen like them. Vision like them. Selfish like them. Because if you're not, they will, listen to me, they will not let you swim with them. Are you some exception? Let me tell you a story. Several years ago, I'm saying several years ago, but it can be repeated, I don't know how many times, I was at the Orleans County Fair. This kid came up to my table, our table, and greeted me. I didn't even know who it was. Kid used to go to this church, teenage boy. He walked up to my table, swimming with all the fish, with the current. And I could not tell. I could not tell who the boy was until he said, it's me. Hey, let me tell you something, Nathan. Let me tell you something, buddy. If you want to swim with the world, you're not going to make it unless you be like the world. That's just a fact of life. That's just truth of life. As the living fish swim against the stream, I say, so do living Christians. So do living Christians pursue Christ's truth and go against the current of the times, defying alike the ignorance and the culture of the age. I don't care what the culture of the age is. I don't care what the world is doing. What does the Bible say? Is it obsolete? No, I don't think so. It is the believer's privilege Can I tell you tonight? It's the believer's honor to be the steadfast truth, a steadfast friend of the truth of God. When all others forsake him, you forsake the truth, I'm going to forsake you and stick with the truth. As living fish swim against the stream, so do living Christians. The Bible says, and you, the living Bible says, had he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, the now, worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in the past, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Just like the world. We were by nature children of wrath, and God was a total stranger. Jesus was the perfect stranger. But God was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead, preacher, even when we were dead in sins, he knocked on my door. And I let the stranger in. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace he has saved. So, when Christ's precepts are disregarded, when his day is forgotten, and his worship neglected, we come in. We take up our cross, follow him. In this day, it's a struggle. In this day, you know, the world will say, oh, you're a fanatic. It's fanatical. This is the world who spends their wealth, say, on a vehicle or vehicles and live their life. All they talk about is their vehicles, and I'm a fanatic. This is the people that go to the last place Buffalo Bill game at 8 o'clock in the morning, set up their little, what do they call that in the park? What? The tailgate party in the park, drinking alcohol 8 o'clock in the morning. Somehow, we Christians, we envy that. You talk about a fanatic. You go to a last place football team and paint your face up like a Buffalo Bill or a Miami Dolphin or a Viking or some other creature. You're going to pay $500, Brother Sarah, to go to a stinking playoff game when I can watch it 10 times better in my own couch. Who's a fanatic? Now, on the other side of that coin, let me just tell you something. You're no fanatic about anything. Hey, don't flatter yourselves by thinking you're some kind of fanatic for Christ. I don't see many fanatics for Christ. And going to church on Sunday, oh, and Wednesday, and Sunday night, I got to read my Bible, I got to read my prayer, I do my prayers, I got to wear a dress, I got to cut my hair, and you really think you're a fanatic? That's not a fanatic. That's just doing stuff. That's a bare minimum. We make some apology for trying to maintain some moral standard in the house. I make no apology. I mean it. I mean it. Fanatic, you're prideful. You're so prideful. Oh, we're fanatics. Yeah, you're not a fanatic because you sit here with a Bible in your lap. In a suit and a tie, and you look modest, that's a fanatic? Maybe today, but I'll guarantee you something, dear sister. It wasn't a fanatic 100 years ago. It wasn't a fanatic 50 years ago. It wasn't a fanatic 25 years ago. It wasn't a fanatic 10 years ago. Oh, I wish someone would call me a fanatic. And it'd be the truth, but to be honest, I'm no fanatic. I'm not possessed like the football players are possessed. I'm not possessed like the stock market. Those are fanatics.
They live and breathe the stock market. I don't compare with them. They're fanatics. If that's a fanatic, I'm no fanatic. Don't call me a fanatic. It's not true. Some of you are so are more fanatical about your face and your hair than you are the things of God. How do I know that? Because you spend a lot of time on it, even in the house of God. I'm a fanatic? Yeah. Try being a fanatic. Try taking the mirrors out of the bathroom and watch who's a fanatic. We have 15 people in church on Sunday, and they'll all be men. Oh, no, man. I'm telling the truth. You know that's true. So what I'm saying is, I don't care if you brush your hair. Great. Good. Wonderful. But don't call yourself a fanatic for Christ. Well, I gave out 5 tracts last week. Really? Wow. What you need to do is get yourself off the TV, get yourself off the phone, and pick up a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs and find out what a fanatic's all about. And you'll find out your little life's not so fanatical, because we really, preacher, have the best of both worlds. Right? The world will say, you're missing out, man. You're missing on what? What am I missing out on? Heaven? Am I missing out on fun? Am I missing out on my friends? Am I missing out on excitement? My family? My health? Fact of the matter is, misery loves company. And the evil want you to be evil. And as the evil wants you to be evil, we should want them to be good. More so. Join us. Join us. Look at the fun we're having. Really? Not like I'm having. And if I'm not having any fun, oh, I'm going to be. I'm going to be real soon. I like what the preachers say. Many preachers say, look, if I'm wrong, okay. Okay. If I'm wrong, okay. Pretty good life. But if I'm right, you are in dire trouble. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what they think. God forbid. This is the Bible now. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto... What am I ashamed of? The Word of God? That strange book, when you carry it someplace, people back up and say, oh, my guy's not a Bible. I told the story many times. I got saved. I started carrying my Bible to work, and my workmates burned my Bible with a torch. I worked in a place where they... construction, sort of like instruction. And they took my Bible, and they burned my Bible with a torch. And I just kind of looked at that and said, wow, that's pretty neat. Just a book, right? That did something to my faith. Oh, really? Really, Dylan? Just a book? What's the deal? It's a strange thing, isn't it? The Lord come to the planet he made, and they wouldn't have him. Stranger. Strange thing. No stranger thing than him taking us in. No stranger thing that he would make us holders of the word, of trust us with the word of God, to stand for the truth of God no matter where we go. Fourthly, tonight, it's a strange thing, isn't it? How the stranger can change a man. Oh, it's a strange thing how that stranger can make the crooked straight. No matter what your situation in life, the stranger will make it right when he becomes no more a stranger to you. Let me read again our verse. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Now, it's a good thing to give meat. It's a good thing to give drink, but the real test is taking him in. There are a lot of people that want to hand Jesus a sandwich. They want to hand Jesus a glass of water. Maybe give him a little something at Easter. Give him a little something at Christmas. Maybe say a prayer now and then. Maybe give something to charity. Maybe do some good work. A little sandwich. A little cup of water. But that's not what the Savior requires. He requires all of you. Come on in. He wants to come in right here. He don't want some token handshake, some token piece of bread, some token cup of water. I love it. I was hungry and he gave me meat. Great. Good. I'm glad you do that. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Wonderful. Excellent. I was a stranger. He took me in. I hope you don't mind, Brother Bill. Yuki, I thought about your family today, this message. Yuki, a stranger. And the Morrisseys gave you food. Nice, good. And the Morrisseys give you drink. Very good. But greatest of all is taking you in, making you part of their home, part of their family. That, my dear, is what salvation is all about. It's taking him in. Can I come in for a drink? Yes. Can I come in for some water? Yes. Can I come in your house to stay? Yeah, come in. Come in. It'll change a man. It changed this man. I was hungry, he gave me meat. I was thirsty, he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I'm glad about that. The greatest gift God gave to man came down as a stranger. And he knocks on your door, and he wants to come in and sup with you. Do you give God a sandwich now and then? A cup of water? Or does he own every room in your house? He wants to come in. He wants to abide. You took me in. Some people get saved, and they bring Jesus in the house, Brother Joshua, and they'll stick him in this room, and they won't let him go in this room. Or they'll put him over in this part of the table, but not on this part of the table. That's my part of the table. That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. No. When we open the door of our entire being to him, when we install him into our house, into our souls as the honored guest, oh, how much sweeter the water tastes. How much better the food tastes. Come and stay with me. Like the souls in Bethany. Lazarus, Mary, Martha. Welcomed the master into their home. Like the house of Obadiah that held the ark of God in peace. That's how God wants for us. And like the prayer of Abraham, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray you, from your servant. Oh, I can talk about salvation all day long. And some people do talk about salvation that know nothing about it. And you can't know about salvation until you experience salvation. And when you take Christ into your life, your house ought to change. Big problem is we try to change the soul by changing our clothes. You don't change the soul by changing your clothes. You change your clothes by changing your soul. That's true. That's true. You can't clean up from the outside in. You clean up from the inside out. When we take in our Lord, that quickening spirit does something to a man. And if it doesn't do it to you, I'd say, am I saved? I didn't say, are you sinless? I said, if that quickening spirit that indwells us now, we're saved. If it does nothing for you, I ask you, are you saved? Profession of Christianity is abundant. It's much. But how rare is that secret life of peace? Profession is abundant. Well, where? For God's sake, where is the peace of God amongst God's people? The name of Christ is spoken everywhere, but where is the life of Christ seen? That's a question. That's a question I have for you. There's much talk, very little walk, a lot of water, some bread, not much taking in. Oh, you can come in when it's convenient, but not when I'm swimming with my friends who don't love you. If you allow our Lord to live in you, allow him. You have power, you know. If you're saved, he comes in. You have power to allow him to live in and through you. I say, that's a son of God. It's a strange thing, isn't it? The maker and creator of all comes to the earth. No signature. I made this. Oh, look at that. Prideful man. Prideful. Arrogant. Selfish. If there's no stranger thing on the planet, then he would let me in, turning a stranger to a son, making the stranger my father. How strange is it that he would make us curators of the strangest book on the earth? A strange thing how God changes a man and makes him a new man. Old things, the Bible says, are passed away and all things become new. That's God's way. And lastly, tonight, the fact that Jesus would knock is amazing. The fact that Jesus would knock and come in is amazing. But what's really incredible to me is the fact that he would knock, come in, and promise to stay. That's commitment from my Lord. That's a promise from Almighty God. Listen to the verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. I'll tell you who's not going to knock on your door. Danny Wegman's not going to knock on your door and want to eat dinner with you. Donald Trump is not going to knock on your door and want to have supper with you. Aaron Rodgers is not going to come and want to supper with you. No movie star, no millionaire. They don't care about you. To them, you don't even exist. But there is one perfect stranger that will come and knock on your door. Have you open that door? Come in your house and stay. Abide. Oh, man. We give so much credit to so many stupid, selfish men. What does God think of it? You wouldn't catch me in my grave with a baseball or football shirt with another man's name on it. Crazy? Walk around? What? Oh, I'm asking, ask yourself. Say, oh, I know, the old man's nuts. What does God think about it? What does God, I'll tell you what he thinks when he sees a preacher walking around with Jesus on the back of his shirt. If God were a man, he'd say, that's me. That's my boy. That's my boy. So this weekend, Foxborough. There'll be 10,000 people there with number 12 on their shirt. How many of you can be there with Jesus on their shirt? Does it matter to anybody? Does it matter to God? Who's a fanatic? Who's a fanatic? I love this verse. I hope you don't listen. Sometimes you read these verses and they just, verses, words, they're more than words to me. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Such a one is he, to sup with such a one as me. Really? The King of glory in the sinner's bosom? If you don't think that's strange, you have a problem. And you know what is really amazing? That he's going to stay no matter what happens in my house.
no matter what happens in my house, he's going to stay. If it were not so, Brother Joe, he'd have left a long time ago. Oh, it's a miracle of divine grace. Yet it's so simple. It's the humble, repenting faith that opens that door. That humble, repenting faith that opens the door so Jesus can come in. What condescension. What an indwelling. How can it be? Oh, listen to the world of meaning in this verse by Paul. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being, the Bible says. He has come to stay. Thank God tonight he's no longer a stranger. I like this in the Bible. It says, now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints into the household of God. Amy, why don't you come, honey? And I really want to sing this 66 with all of my heart tonight.